John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10 this morning, please. We're going to read several verses out of this chapter 10. I'm going to jump around a little bit in chapter 10, but a few verses. We're going to read verse 9, then 11, and then we're going to go to verse 28 and read to verse 30. So if you'll find chapter 10, and number 9, and then we'll be ready to go here, okay? As you're finding your place, please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10, and beginning at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. That's Jesus saying that. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now jump to verse 28, would you? Same chapter. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Great statement here, verse 30. I and my Father are one. There you have Jesus as God, proclaimed clearly and simply. I'm going to talk to you on the subject this morning of safe with the shepherd, or who's hanging on to who. Safe with the shepherd, or who's hanging on to you. Hang on to this sermon. And then I think at the end, you'll make a little more sense. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the opportunity that I have to come and stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God to these people. Lord, your will be done. I need your help for your will to be done. I need you to give me clarity of thought, help me to say what I should, not say what I shouldn't. For Holy Spirit, you will bring results. And Father, the same is true with the Holy Spirit dealing in the word and the lives of those that hear what I preach this morning. You'll speak to their hearts. You'll convict them. You'll comfort them. You'll do what needs to be done if you'll work. So we ask you to work in our midst today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, your security as to whether or not you get to heaven depends on who your shepherd is. The security, the safety of whether or not you're going to have eternal life depends on who your shepherd is. And there's really three people or things that you are going to base your security on. Number one is Jesus, of course. Number two, people base their security on themselves. There's some people probably in this room this morning that base their security on whether or not what they do will get them to heaven. And then there's a last one, and that's basing their security on someone or something. For example, a church. But look at verse 9, if you would, in that chapter that we read. In verse 9, it says, but Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus Christ says, I am the one that you need to go through so that you can have eternal life. I'm the door. That's what a door is for. A door is to go through. What we need to go through into is heaven. But we must go through Jesus because Jesus said, I'm the door. So, to be able to get into the sheepfold of Jesus' sheep, look at verse 7, verily, verily, at the end of the second part of verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So to be part of Jesus' sheepfold, we need to go in at the right door. That's crucial. That's so important. A lot of people miss it. But the simplicity of the Word of God, and then Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way to get to heaven. I am the way to have eternal life, as he said in verse 28. Look at it. And I give unto them eternal life, not partial life, not temporary life, but I give unto them eternal life. Jesus is the door. And we need to make sure we're not choosing the wrong door of those three things that I listed. Or we're going to be very embarrassed when we stand before God because we thought we knew what we were doing or we trusted someone other than the Word of God. It's going to be a great embarrassment. I used to build above ground pools. I did it as a side job in the Atlanta, Georgia area before we moved here. My wife and I, some 16, 17 years ago, I used to build pools. I'd build them in the summertime. I made more money in 3 months than I'd made in 3 years working in the ministry. It was just a sideline job. God blessed us with it. Do you have any of that money now? No, I've spent it all. Doesn't it look like I've eaten a lot? So, hey. Brother Myers, you turn on a man just so quick. I heard you there. I used to build above ground pools. And we built pools everywhere. I told my Sunday school class this morning, it was another illustration I used in this. And all over North Georgia. Matter of fact, went to Tennessee, would make trips to Memphis, just load up. They'd ship us the pools. I contracted with this company, and they would sell them, and I would build them. And we'd get a certain amount of money, and there was usually two or three of us, depending if we were out of town, in town, or whatever, and we'd build these pools. We could knock out two pools, and that was with pre-assembled decks that we would carry with us, and we sometimes could do, and that was pretty good money. And I worked in Atlanta area, and if you know anything about I-20, I-20 runs east and west through Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I used to ride that corridor all the time. First of all, I'd have to go to North Atlanta to pick up the pools, and I'd go by. On I-20, there were two buildings at that time. They're not there anymore, but there were two buildings. There was a Cub food store. You know what Cub is? That's Walmart's Costco, in other words. And there was another store called, Cub was a grocery store. Sam's was Walmart's thing. These two buildings were identical. They were built on the south side of I-20, and they were about a mile apart, but they were identical. Same buildings, the block, that you paint and it's all, that's what the outside of it is. Well, as I was traveling that, one day I had to, as I mentioned about getting up last night and nobody caught the joke, or you didn't laugh because, okay, but I had to go. So I was by myself. I think I was picking pools up, something like that. So I just whipped in to what I thought was Cub, and was going to go into the restroom. See, but Cubs and Sam's were identical looking buildings, except the names, except one thing. And you know how it is. You go into down the hall, the front hall, there's a brick, kind of like our Walmart here in Reading, and you go down, and then you enter this little covey, and then you go right or you go left to go to the restrooms, men on this side, women on this side. Well, Cubs and Sam were the exact same building, except there was one little problem. The bathrooms were on the different sides. You know where I'm going, don't you? I thought I was at Sam's, but really I was at Cubs food. So, and I had to go, so I just went in, and I darted quickly and went back to my left. I went in, and then I just opened up the door, went in, and started looking for the appliances that men use and restrooms. I didn't see any. My heart started beating just about like that. You know what I'd done, don't you? I went into the women's restroom. Let me tell you something. That was a frightening experience. My life flashed in front of me. What am I doing? Am I going to jail? Is somebody going to be there? And I quickly just ran back out the door, went across the hall to the men's restroom. Let me tell you, how embarrassing was that? It'd be nothing compared to the embarrassment of going through the wrong door to get you into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure we get in at the right door. How do we do that? We find out which one it is. Well, Jesus said, I am the door. But let me say this. Once you enter the door through Jesus and go into heaven, you'll remember when you did that. I don't understand people that tell me, and I ask them, I say, when did you get saved? And they say, well, I'm not real sure. Man, if I ask you what your social security number was, you'd know it right just like that. I would say, if I ask you men when your anniversary was, you'd know it, but that may not work. But most of you remember your own birthday. You remember when your birthday is, if I ask you to say it. We obviously, every one of us, even though it's not ours, we know when pastor's birthday is, right? We know that. But you tell me this morning you don't know when you went through Jesus, the door, to get you saved? There's a problem with that, my friend. There's an issue there. We need to make sure we are going through the right door so that we have security that when we die, we're going to stand before God Almighty and He's going to welcome us in into life eternal. You say, Brother Evans, I can't remember. To be honest with you, I don't remember the date. All my Bibles, I say this, I used to, I don't know whether I do, but most of my Bibles that I have, first thing I write in my Bible is there's a statement that says, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior September 20th, 1976. And then I sign it. My dad told me never, girl, pay attention, guys. My dad said never sign. This was the old days. Never sign your name to anything unless you mean what you say and you're going to keep it. So what I did, I signed my name to that. And if anybody finds my Bible and I'm not able to tell them that, they'll know that I was saved. But you know what? September 20th, I don't know if it's September 20th. I guessed at it. I don't know. You say, well, then you don't know you're saved. Oh, yes, I know I'm saved. I remember it was on the third floor, room number 7, in my barracks in the United States Navy, and I accepted Jesus Christ, a little pamphlet somebody gave me, and then a book that I read, and in it said, you got to accept Jesus Christ, the door to heaven. And I remember asking Jesus, and let me tell you something, for a fellow that can't remember the name of his 4 kids, I definitely don't remember their birthdays. I can remember when I got saved. How about you this morning? Do you remember going through the door? We remember all these dates, but we seem to not be able to. This morning, we need to settle that in our lives. We need to know we've gone through the right door. Let's look at the statements that Jesus said that teaches security, that we'll have eternal life and we'll be able to live eternity with God and Jesus Christ. Look at the first statement in verse 28. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. You know, when we go through Jesus into the fold, He gives us eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. He gives us eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we can't do anything to earn it. It's free, ladies and gentlemen. Why do we not see that? So many of us use the portal, the door of ourselves to think that we're going to be able to do something to be able to get in heaven and qualify with enough goodness in our lives to get us into heaven. That's foolishness, ladies and gentlemen. It's free, and thank God it's free, because I wouldn't have made it into heaven because of this past week and the things that I thought and did. And you're the same way out there in the audience that I'm preaching to this morning. Thank God it's a free gift. When my oldest daughter was, we lived in Red Bluff at the time. My oldest daughter, I think I was trying to remember, I think it was kindergarten, maybe the latest, first grade. Our oldest daughter will be here soon for Christmas, and we're looking forward to having her, Joanna. And Lord willing, she'll sing for us. The big thing that time that Christmas was Cabbage Patch Dolls. How many remember Cabbage Patch Dolls? How many don't know what Cabbage Patch Dolls are? Look, it's all the young people. I'm preaching to a bunch of old folks here. I am the old folk preacher, so don't get it. Okay, but Cabbage Patch, that was the thing. Everybody wanted a Cabbage Patch doll. And, of course, my oldest daughter wanted a Cabbage Patch doll. I lived in Red Bluff. They don't have anything in Red Bluff. Oh, it's a big bustling town now. But that Christmas, there was no Cabbage Patch dolls. I was looking everywhere. And by the way, this was before the internet and order. Some of you think, why don't you just get on the internet and order it? There was no internet. God. How did we survive without cell phones and computers? How did we make it? Okay, back to the story. I went into this store. This was before Walmart. It wasn't a Walmart at Red Bluff, nothing. And all around the room, around the ceiling, up by the ceiling, along the walls, were Cabbage Patch dolls, dozens of them. I got excited. I thought, well, I'm going to get my daughter what she wants. And I went to the manager and I said, I'd like to buy one of those Cabbage Patch dolls. And he said, sir, those Cabbage Patch dolls, you cannot pay for them. They cannot be bought. They're a program. We're giving those away. You cannot buy them. Well, obviously, she didn't get a Cabbage Patch doll that year. But you know the truth is, you can't buy your salvation either. You can't do anything for it. You can't improve it. You can't add to it. You can't do anything. Jesus did it all. That's why He's the door. He paid for our salvation. He bought our salvation. It's through Him that we get our salvation. It's Jesus and Jesus alone, my friend. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It is a free gift, and if you're going to go through the door, you're going to go through freely this morning. Then look at the next statement. He says in that same verse, verse 28, and they shall never perish. That word perish means never be destroyed. Listen to me. Sin destroys. But the penalty for our sin will never affect us if we've allowed Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. What a promise do we have from Jesus Christ? They shall, and they being the sheep, they shall never perish. Listen to me. You can go down here to, you can go to Redding if you want and ride a bumpy flight, or you can go down to Sacramento and get on an airplane, and they won't give you a promise like God, Jesus is giving you right here. They won't tell you, oh, we'll get you there safely. They can't, because something could go wrong. Jesus says, you shall never perish. Jesus says, we will never die. We'll never have to pay a penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ has promised us they shall never perish. Look at the next statement in verse 28. And it says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know the reason He says you'll never perish is because Jesus has you in His hand securely and safe. We sang about it, the Alaskan congregational song we sang this morning. The choir sang about the Lamb. We sang about it, and I'm thinking, Lord, you really got the right message today. Do you know Jesus says the reason you're safe and you're secure is because I got you in my hand. Look at it. Look at it. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why did He make that statement? Any man will not be able to pluck you. Because did you know there are people trying to pluck you out and destroy your life, keep you from getting saved, and then trying to get your life a disaster and a wreck and a mess? You know the number one person that does that? You know who it is, don't you? It's the devil. You know, the devil wants to destroy your life. He wants you to be concerned whether or not you're going to heaven. He wants you to wonder and doubt and constantly be fretting over the truth of whether or not you're going to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says, you go through me the door, then you shall never perish. He wants you to know that. He wants you to have the security. He doesn't want to hold things over your head and say, oh, you've not been good today, little Johnny. You're not going to get to go to heaven. That's foolishness. But you know, there's another one, people that try to pluck us out, and that's religious organizations. You know, any church group, I don't care who it is, that says you have to belong to their group to get to heaven is a cult. I said it is a cult. There's nobody that can restrict you in any way from getting to heaven except yourself. By not going through the door. No one. And I understand their philosophy. You see it in the jails. We preach in the jails. And a lot of the churches that go up there are a work salvation. In other words, you got to do things and keep right. And I understand the thinking that if you can keep these prisoners under your thumb, then they'll turn out all right. That's the farthest thing from the truth in biblical truths. My friend, once you see that Jesus is the door and you've got eternal life for free, you'll want to serve Him. Not because you have to, but because you want to. See, I drank all the liquor I wanted to last night. I didn't want to. I smoked all the tobacco and any other funny tobacco last night that I wanted to. It was good stuff. I got a doctor's prescription. No, I didn't do any of that. Why? I didn't want to. Why? Jesus saved me and I want to serve Him and love Him. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I work for Him. But because He saved me. He was the door that got me into heaven. He was why I live for Him today. Because I love Him. Not because I have to do it. No, I come to work here because I have to. No, I don't. I love to come to work here. I love to serve here. I love to serve you. Let me tell you something. There's another person trying to get pulled out of the hand of Jesus. And that's yourself. You're a one, aren't you? No one will be able to pluck you out of my hand. No, any man. No one. You can't pluck yourself out. Well, Brother Evans, what if I go out here and shoot and kill someone? Well, let me ask you a simple question. You know, my youngest son, he serves here. He's our bus pastor, our bus director, works in the school. Let me ask you a question. If James Evans said, man, I need a few extra dollars, and he goes over to a mini-mart right over here. Now listen to me and listen closely. He goes over to a mini-mart, and he's just going to try to get a few dollars, but something happens, the clerk or somebody pulls a gun, and there's a shootout, and James Evans, my son that I gave birth to, shoots and kills that man. Is he still my son? Yeah. Why do you think God would create a family after, and there's so many connections, create a family where we have children and there are children, whether they're good children or whether they're bad children. You still love them, but that doesn't mean you're close to them. As a matter of fact, if he's going to jail for that, I'm not going to be close to him for a long time. But he's still my son. And then God gives us, says you must be born again. He gives us a way to get to heaven, to be His child. Do you think that's going to be different from the creation of Adam and Eve and producing children and having children? And the spiritual side is going to be different than that? Foolishness. See, we're safe in Jesus' hands. And by the way, He's the one that's... And by the way, if that's not enough, look at verse 29. My Father, Jesus is saying this, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, I got you right here in my hand. I got you safe and I got you secure. Whether you're good or whether you're bad, I got you. And then he says, not on top of that, by God's hand. God's hand's got my hand safe and secure. And he said, no man's going to be able to pluck you out of my hand. You've got to go through God the Father and God the Son to be able to get even plucked out of that hand. Foolishness, ladies and gentlemen. We need to quit living our life under condemnation because we have not gone through the door that God has provided us to go through and be saved. Listen, He's the one that's got a hold of us. It's not us. It's my children. We have four of them. Did you know as my children were growing up, and when we lived in bigger cities and places, do you know I would never allow my children to hold my hand when we crossed major intersections or streets? Never did. I held their hand. Because as soon as they got out in that street and they saw all that busy traffic and those problems and those things they're facing in this world, they come screeching down by squealing brakes, honking horns, and those things that just overcome us in this world, and they're all around us. You know what those kids would do if they're holding my hand, don't you? They would pull it out and they would just take off and they would probably get killed instead of being in the security of Dad holding their hand and getting them across. Who's hanging on to who this morning? Is Jesus hanging on to you? Are you holding on to Him? Question number one, if you're saved this morning, that question applies to you. If you're not saved this morning, you do not have your sins forgiven. You haven't gone through the door. You don't have a time that you remember when you went through that door. Then that question applies to you this morning. Who's holding on to who? And by the way, if you are saved this morning, have you acknowledged that you've gone through the door? Have you made a public profession of that? Have you joined this church? Have you been baptized to let everybody in the church know that you are saved? And do you want that safety that He promises His children this morning? It's up to you. Miss Evans is going to play in a few minutes. And as she plays, if you want that security this morning that only Jesus Christ will give you by going through Him into His fold, then you come forward this morning. Take my hand. I'll have somebody here take you to a quiet place, and they'll talk to you, pray with you, and show you what the Word of God has. Well, look, once you have that security, that security brings us to the place in our lives where we want to follow and serve Jesus Christ. That is what security does for us. It's not you got to. It is I get to. Where are you? Who's holding on to who this morning? I ask you, Shasta Baptist Church. I ask you, dear loved one. I ask you, friend and neighbor who does not know Jesus Christ. Won't you make the 4th of November, can you believe it, 2012, the day you know that you went through the door. Let's stand to our feet, please.